record checkbox.
Well, hi there, everybody. Once again, this is Matt Volbrecht coming to you with another podcast for Blind Cool Tech, and I'm very excited about the podcast for today, as I hope that you will be too, because today is the day we're actually going to demo some of these wonderful Apple products that we've been talking about. And I had promised you a Q&A podcast, and I definitely will keep answering questions within podcasts and maybe do entire podcasts dedicated to questions and answers. But what I found from the questions I've been getting is that a lot of them can be answered by my demonstrations. And I think that there might be some people that would be very disappointed if I did not at least show you a little bit about the iPhone in podcast number two. So that's what we're going to do today. But I encourage you to keep your questions and comments coming. I thank you for all the ones I've gotten already. They've been wonderful and great, and I hope I've been able to answer some of your questions, and I hope I'll be able to do more of that today and in future podcasts. So keep them coming, please. I'll give you the email address again at the end of the podcast. Before we get started on any demonstrations, I did promise you that I'd share a little with you about Apple TV. I'm not going to take too much time with it. It's not really what you'd consider to be an accessible product, although you can learn your way around probably the majority of it with a little assistance and practice. But definitely if you had sighted friends or family, it'd be the best thing. Apple TV, very simply, is a device that connects to your existing television. It's got to be either a widescreen or high-definition television. You don't have to use the HDMI port, but you do need at least a widescreen TV. You connect this thing. It has either a 40 or 160 gigabyte hard drive. I'm told they're actually discontinuing the 40 gig one and lowering the price of the 160 gig, though. So anyhow, this thing also has Ethernet, and it has Wi-Fi. It connects via either component video or HDMI, and I think also DVI is another option. What you do is you can use this device to access the entire contents and sync the entire contents or selected contents of your iTunes library. TV shows, movies, music videos, and even your music, podcasts, and photos. If you have a second computer, you can also stream from it, so you're not taking up as much hard drive space on the Apple TV. And then, and perhaps the most exciting feature about this thing, is you can access the iTunes Store directly from Apple TV, from the comforts of your own home, in your living room, with the remote that's provided for you. And you can rent or buy movies, TV show episodes, seasons, all kinds of things, and have them available instantly, pause them, do basically anything you want to. We have Dish Network as our television service through our phone company. We've got DVR and all the good stuff. But we still like the Apple TV. It's nice. And it goes above and beyond your typical on-demand and pay-per-view that you can get from a cable or satellite company, because you can get all kinds of movies with more to come. And now, thanks to iTunes 9, you can even get movie extras like you would on a DVD. Plus, if you have other movies on your computer, either from the iTunes Store or home movies or anything else that you've gotten onto your computer, which there are ways to do, we'll share them with you in other podcasts, you can watch them on Apple TV. So it is a pretty exciting device. I love it, even though it's not 100% accessible. It is a great device, and I thought I'd share that with you. All right, let's get started on this thing. Now, on September the 9th at the famous It's Only Rock and Roll media event that Apple hosted, several new products were introduced. iTunes 9 and a lot of great features. iPhone 3.1 software, which I'll be using on my iPhone. And new talking iPods, folks. The iPod Touch now has VoiceOver. If I was excited about the release of the iPhone, I'm doing backflips. Well, not literally. Over the release of the iPod Touch third generation. Why? Because now, even if you don't have an iPhone, it is possible for you to have a fully accessible mainstream PDA with a display, with Wi-Fi internet, with music, with all the features and functions for under $300. You did not hear me incorrectly. I said under $300. That's pretty spectacular. And if you say, well, I need a Daisy Book player, buy a Victor Reader Stream and an iPod Touch, and you're still saving about $1,000 over the least expensive PDA that's specifically designed for accessibility. Now, some people asked about whether a lot of things can be done with voice control or on the computer, and the answer is yes. Not all things, but a lot of things, and if you have Mobile Me, even more stuff can be entered on the computer and then instantly show up on the iPhone or the iPod Touch. But let me say this quickly about the touchscreen. I think if you give it a chance, and more than just a minute, you know, you need to spend between a half hour to an hour with the thing before you can really even begin to make a statement about it, in my opinion. If you spend that time with it, I think you will find you're pleasantly surprised as to how you use the touchscreen. I'll be honest with you, as much as I loved Apple, when I first heard they came out with a talking iPhone, I pictured myself wandering aimlessly around a screen and not having a clue what was up or down, and hello, where's the button, what am I looking for? It's not that way, folks. It's not that way at all. And I don't recommend that you ask a sighted user how it is to use VoiceOver with gestures. Nothing against you. If you have sight, I'm not trying to offend you in any way. It just is that people who are sighted are used to the standard sighted gestures, and they don't think of the double tapping and different things like that as common. We learn them from the get-go, and we're set, and Apple has done some really ingenious stuff. So I want to demonstrate it for you, and I hope that you'll have an open mind about it, and I hope that you'll support Apple. I mean, that's your decision, of course, but I strongly encourage you to support them because I think you're going to see the beginning of a major change in assistive technology and who's responsible for it because of what Apple's done. They deserve some real serious praise for this, as far as I am concerned. I have a 32-gig iPod Touch, third generation. They make it in 64 gigs also, by the way. The 8-gig one does not talk. The other two have the feature. I also got a 16-gig iPod Nano, third generation. That's a nice device. It does have the voiceover kit. Not the full software. Not everything talks, but the majority of the stuff does. And it's got a built-in speaker and microphone. Thank you, Apple. I'm glad you put the built-in speaker in the Nano, too. The iPod Touch has the built-in speaker, but not a built-in mic, but you do get an included set of earbuds with a mic. And, of course, everything talks. And then there's the iPhone, which has it all. The Nano also has a video camera, an FM radio, and a pedometer. It's a good little device. I may demonstrate it today. I may demonstrate it in the next podcast. But we're going to start with this iPhone. I'm going to give you a physical description in case you haven't seen one. I'm going to try to keep this podcast reasonably short, but no guarantees. So if you want to, you might want to save it, you know, or, I mean, you don't even have to. If you've got the internet at your home, you can, you know, just pause at any time if you just want to take a break. The iPhone and iPod Touch look very similar, although the iPod Touch is noticeably thinner. They both have a nice contoured design, and the iPod Touch has a kind of a, I think, like a silver back. The iPhone has either black or white. I got mine in white. And what you will notice when you hold it flat in the palm of your hand, the bottom of the screen should be closest to you and should have a tactile round button in the center of it. That button is the home button. No matter what you're doing, it returns you to what Apple calls the home screen. If you're already at the home screen, pressing the home button initiates a spotlight search. You can search for anything, calendar appointments, contacts, anything you want, and then push it again to get back home. If you hold down the home button until you hear a beep, you can do your voice commands, your voice controls. On the lower front spine, as we'll call it, of that iPhone, you will find the dock connector. And I talked a little about that the last time with some speaker docks. That's also where the USB cable goes, or chargers, anything like that. On the iPod Touch, you'll also find the 3.5mm headset jack down there at the bottom. On the iPhone, it's not there. It's up on the top spine. And on the top spine of the iPod Touch, you'll find on the left the on and sleep button. It's actually on the right of the top spine on the iPhone. So from left to right on that top spine, you've got the headphone jack, followed by the SIM tray, which you use a bent paper clip or the SIM removal tool to insert or remove your SIM card. And on the right of the top spine, you'll find the button that we talked about to turn it on and put it to sleep and so on. We'll describe how that works. On the left spine, you have three buttons. A volume down, a volume up, and the top one is actually not a button at all. It's a switch, and it makes the thing go into vibrate only or silent mode, I think, really, so you don't have the sounds and so forth. The rest of it is the screen, and at the very top of the screen is the divot, you know, where you would hear the sound from phone calls. The speaker is actually down on the lower spine next to the dock connector. On the iPod Touch, it's not exactly in that location. All right. Before we get started, let me remind you about some of these gestures. Remember, single taps anywhere around the screen will tell you what you're tapping at the time. If you don't know of a program's layout, one thing I suggest is starting to swipe to the right or to the left to go forward or back through all of the icons on the screen. When you get to one you want, remember a double tap activates or opens that particular icon or the program that's associated with it. There's also a three-fingered scroll up or down for next or previous page. And there are two-fingered double taps for other convenience features, but we'll get to those later. I will inform you that you can get used to the layout of this thing very easily. There is portrait and there's landscape, but near the top of the screen, or one of the sides if it's in the other mode, you know, the portrait, the landscape, but near the top of the screen, you'll always find your status. Near the bottom of the screen, the icons will always be the same, too, no matter what page you're on of your home screen. I'm up to four pages now because of the number of apps that I have. Some of them are accessible, some are not. I'm going to turn my iPhone on. It's completely powered off right now. I will press and hold that top button that's next to the headphone jack and the SIM card slot, and I'll press and hold it for about 4 or 5 seconds, and then like any phone, it's going to take a little time to power on. When it does, you'll hear it make a little beeping noise, and it'll speak the time. We're waiting for that now. Now, we're about to hear the time.
4:51.
And it said 4:51, and I have to answer my phone. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Screen locked.
Yeah. Yes, hi. We can do that, yes. Wonderful, thank you. Bye. Okay, sorry about that, folks. Now, you heard some other things happen. My phone rang, and I didn't think I would pause the podcast because I figured it would be a quick call. So please excuse the interruption. But you then heard it say screen locked, and that happens by default after a period of time that you can specify, or you can disable that feature. Or when you tap that power button, that is the equivalent of locking the screen. They call it a sleep button. Really, I like to call it a screen lock switch. I'm going to have to press that power button again now. I wouldn't have had to otherwise, but I'm going to have to now.
4:52.
Now, I know where the unlock button is. If I locate that home tactile button on the bottom of the screen and I go to the left and up a little bit, I bet you I get pretty much right on it.
Unlock. Double tap to unlock.
I'm going to double tap. Little quick tap tap.
Unlock. Messages. Double tap to open.
And we're on the home screen, and you heard it say messages. I can randomly tap different places on my home screen.
Compass. Notes. Page 1 of 4.
I can also start near the upper left, and I can start swiping to the right, or I can start at the right and swipe to the left. I can do pretty much whatever I want. The first thing I'm going to demonstrate to you, though, is, the very first thing I'm going to tell you, if you don't think that VoiceOver is loud enough, you can use the volume control buttons on the side to turn it up, or if it's too loud, you can turn it down. But you must use those volume control buttons while something is actually being spoken. It's a different volume than it is for the rest of the iPhone or iPod, so you've got to tap something first and then start pushing the volume buttons mid-sentence. That's the only way it's going to work. Let me orient you to the very top edge of this touchscreen where you'll hear the status information. I'm going to kind of use the center and I'll hear the time.
Photos.
Well, I wasn't quite high enough.
Double tap, 4:54 p.m.
Okay.
Status bar item.
Status bar item, 4:54 p.m. I'm going to swipe to the left.
67% Wi-Fi signal. Status bar item.
Again.
T-Mobile network. Status
again.
Bar item. Two bars.
Signal and again. Start. You hear that nice little sound that indicates we can't go any further to the left. Let's swipe to the right.
Messages.
Well, I was too low, sorry. Let's find that spot again, and I'm going to tap.
4:54 p.m.
I'm back
status
to that.
Bar
it's through to the right.
Messages. 4:54, 60% battery power. Status bar item.
And that's it.
Messages.
Now we're going to go below that. So you can see that status is always there.
4:54, 60% back, 67% T-Mobile network, three bars.
Whatever, and if there's music playing, it'll tell you that. If you're on an Edge or a GPRS network, it'll tell you that. Now, we're going to find the very first icon, messages.
Calendar, 4:54 p.m.
Actually, calendar.
Messages.
There's messages. Now, I can, I'm going
to
swipe and show you everything that's on my page one of the home screen. Let's start with
messages. Calendar, photos, camera, YouTube, stocks, maps. Weather, voice memos.
Every time you hear that extra little click, it's going down the next row.
Notes, clock, calculator, settings, iTunes, App Store, compass, page 1 of 4.
And then
phone.
I'm actually going to stop with page 1 of 4. That's actually
iPod.
On the right.
Compass.
Or,
page
right,
one
no,
four.
It's on the left. It's on the left. Then the very bottom four icons are always going to be the same. They may be customizable in the preferences, but they're always the same by default. And no matter what page you're on, they're going to be the same. On an iPod Touch, I think they are music, videos, Safari, and App Store, or maybe it's maybe Safari is somewhere else. I can't remember. But on the iPhone, it's going to be phone.
Double
next, it's
mail.
Safari.
iPod.
An iPod.
Double tap to open.
Now, if I want to go to my next page, I double tap that.
Page 1 of 4. Page 1 of 4.
And now
contact.
I'm on page 2 of 4.
Double tap to open.
And I assure you, folks, I have absolutely no sight. I'm doing this just from experience. You heard me make a couple minor little goof-ups. Nothing to get worked up about. But, you know, I'm doing this from experience. It is that easy to learn. The first item here is contacts. We can, again, swipe.
T-Mobile
then
network.
With our...
Around me.
Oh, there's around me.
Contacts.
Around
me.
Band.
Bible. Carpenter. Convert. Elvis. Fandango. Frame. Google Earth. Grocery G. Podcast. iCall. iDisk. iFirst Aid. iGlow Stick. Page 2 of 4. Phone.
And...
Page 2 of 4.
Page 3.
Page 2 of 4. iLava. iLava. Kindle. Mac Gourmet. Nimbus. Online. Quick Tip. Ragdoll Blast. Repeller. Scrabble. Step Track Light, Urban Spoon, Wikipedia, Bum, Barca Deskin, Moby, Pons, TWC, page 3 of 4.
One more page, and the only thing that's on the fourth page is a ringtones app.
Page 3 of 4, ringtones. Double tap to open.
If I tap anywhere else, I get that sound. Although at the bottom I still have
mail,
phone,
Safari,
iPod. Now, I'm going to press the home button to go back to page 1.
Messages. Double tap to open.
I should point out, you've heard all the apps that I have. Some of them may not have made sense to you because there's abbreviated names on there. I know what they are because of how they appeared when I got them and so on. But I might tell you more about them here at a later time, or you can ask me anything about them. I might not go through all of them right now just to save time. And remember, not all of them are accessible. Some of them are more for my wife and son than they are for me, but others are definitely accessible. Okay, the next thing that I'm going to demonstrate for you for today, and we're going to have more than one podcast about this, but then you already knew that. The next thing I'm going to demonstrate for you is what if I'm done with the phone for right now, but I don't want to turn it off? You can just let it sit and it will lock automatically, or I can tap that power button, not hold it, just tap it.
Screen locked.
And the screen is locked. Now, nothing I do will have any effect on it except volume, and if it gets a call, a text message, an email, it'll still notify me. And then I can tap that power button again.
4:58.
And unlock.
4:58. Unlock. But unlock.
And it's unlocked.
Messages.
You have to tap the item once to hear it first. You can't just double tap if you think you know. It wants to make sure that you know, and I accidentally just demonstrated that for you because I knew where unlock was and I double tapped, but I forgot. Nope, you gotta tap it once first to hear it. Okay, I'm gonna go into the, actually, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna show you how to use the two-finger double tap right from the main screen to start an iPod shuffle. Not an iPod shuffle, as in the device, but a shuffle from the music in your iPod. Let's do a two-finger double tap right now. And I can adjust volume. I can tap around to see what's up.
Photos. App Store.
I'm still on my main screen. I like old songs, new songs, all kinds of stuff. That one goes a good ways back. If I want to pause, I'll double tap again. Now, I can definitely go into the iPod and select an album to play, and I'll show you that either later today or probably in the next podcast. I think this podcast is just going to be a very much get your feet wet kind of podcast. But I can go into the iPod and I can, you know, go music, videos, I can pick something, I can search something, I can do all that. But that's a quick way if I don't really care what's playing, or if I've already been playing something, I can resume it that way. So that's an easy way. If I'm going to go for a walk or what have you and I just want to shuffle, I don't care what I hear, I can do it that way, just two-finger double tap. Another thing I can do is I can use voice controls to play my music. Our son likes the song Lollipop, which I have on an album called Rocka Hits by a group called The Chordettes. If I press and hold the home button until I hear a beep, I can then instruct the iPhone or iPod Touch to play that album, and I want to show you what that sounds like right now. I'm pressing the button and holding it. Play album Rocka Hits by The Chordettes.
Album Rocka Hits. Messages. Double tap to open.
And we'll go ahead and two-finger double tap to stop the song. And I'm still on the home screen.
Settings.
See?
Double tap.
Still on the home screen. The next thing I want to demonstrate for you is a phone call. Now, I can absolutely speak my digits or my contact information by pressing and holding that voice control button. I can do the very same thing. But I actually want to use the keypad. I am going to press the phone button.
Mail.
Oops.
50, phone.
There's phone.
Double tap to open. Mail.
And I'm going to, when I double tap it.
Mail. Phone. Phone. Blank phone number. Text field.
Okay. Before we do the blank, before we enter the phone number, though, I want to tell you that there's common places to look for stuff in applications. The top, right, and left, just below the status. And that's especially useful in the calendar and contacts where you might want to add or edit something or other programs like that. And the bottom, where the typical icons are for home or for phone, mail, Safari, and iPod, there are new icons that are sort of a menu at the bottom. And in this particular application, the phone app, that is the case. Let's start with the lower left and see what it is.
Recents. Button.
I think that was the...
Favorites.
No.
Button.
Favorites was the furthest to the left. Then recents.
Recents. Button.
Then...
Contacts. Button.
I decided to swipe, so I'm not missing any.
Keypad. Selected.
And then...
Button. Voicemail. Button.
Voicemail's it. You noticed it said... I'll go back to the left.
Keypad. Selected. Button.
It tells me that the keypad is already selected, so I even know which one I'm on already. So we have favorites, contacts, recents... Favorites, recents, contacts, keypad, and voicemail at the present moment. I can just double-tap voicemail. If I want that, I can double tap contacts and then I can choose any of my contacts to call. I can look at my recent calls and I can call them back or I can delete my recents. And favorites work similarly. I'm going to actually use the keypad. I'm going to just for this demonstration, I'm going to call, let's do, We'll actually give the folks at Apple a call just for fun. 1-800-MY-APPLE. I don't need to do the 1, of course. I'm just going to do the 8.
0.
I'm at the 0.
0.
Let's go up.
8.
There's the 8. Double tap
D-U-V.
It.
8.
Then the 0.
0.
Now, I can double tap twice in a row.
0. 0.
Because I'm already on it. Now the 6.
6. 6. 9. 9. 5.
Whoops.
4. 4. 2.
Wait a minute. 8, I spelled 6. That wrong. Why did I enter a 4? I have no idea. It wasn't a mistake. I'm not even thinking. I deliberately entered the 4, and it doesn't belong in my Apple. Let's go down to the lower right.
Voicemail.
A little
button.
Above it.
Delete. Button. Delete. Button. Delete.
I double tapped, and I deleted the 4. Let's enter the 2.
5.
That's what I was really
2.
Meaning to do.
2.
And the
8.
7.
7. 7. 7. 5. 5. 3. 3.
I'm going to go above the 3 and tap once.
Phone number. 800692-7753 text field.
Just to check what was in it, and you heard it say dash, it puts that in there automatically. Above the home button is contacts.
Contact.
And above that
zero.
Is whoops.
Call.
Is call. I'll double tap. It's reading that that's Apple Incorporated because that's already in there. And it's talking through the earpiece, but I'm just going to tilt the phone and hold it flat.
May be recorded for quality assurance. I'm an automated system that can handle...
I'm going to double tap to hang up.
How can I help you today?
Blank phone number.
Okay. I said that kind of quietly because their automated system is a voice response system, and I didn't want it to think I was talking to it. But I two-finger double tapped anywhere on the screen to hang up the call. While I was in the call... There were buttons that I could access, and in the original software release, it was a little hard to hear voiceover, but Apple has fixed that beautifully in the 3.1 update, and I might demonstrate it for you, and I will demonstrate it for you at a later time, no question about it. You have a button to show or hide the keypad, you have a button to end the call, you have a speaker button, which will be selected when you turn it, that way the accelerometer allows you to just simply flip the phone flat and activate speaker. Without having to push any buttons, and that's a really nice feature. The other thing is that you also have a button there to add it to your contacts. Now, I have my... I'm actually going to get out of the phone app right for now with the home button.
Home. Double tap to open.
And the next thing I'm going to do is call myself from our landline. And you'll hear it say... Call from, I think it'll say Jessica Volbricht or Matthew Volbricht, and you'll hear that it is a talking caller ID. So that's going to happen here in a moment or two.
Jessica or Matthew Volbricht.
I got a nice caller tune. Double tap with 2 fingers to answer. Hello? Oh, it's you. I'm tired of talking to you. Bye.
Blank phone number. Text field.
And you see that it brings me back into the phone app because I was just on the phone. I can check that call out and see who it was. I can even call it back. I can do all kinds of things from within recents, but I'm just going to press the home button.
Double tap to open.
And we're back to the home screen. The next thing I don't want to... Well, yeah, we have some time yet. Okay. I would like to demonstrate for you searching on YouTube. Let's locate the YouTube app. I'm not exactly sure where that is at the moment. I think it's...
Calendar. Stocks. YouTube.
Right there. Double tap.
YouTube. Featured.
And this would work on Wi-Fi or your cellular data network. Again, I want to look at the bottom of the screen because the big choices are down there.
Featured. Featured. Selected. But most viewed. But search. But favorites. But more. Button.
I'm going to go to search.
Favorites. Search. Button. Search. Select YouTube. Search. Text field. Auto correction on. Double tap to edit.
And that search button now is going to be at the upper left.
YouTube. Search. Text field. Auto correction on.
Double tap.
Double tap to edit.